Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, bringing you the revisionist report on this Monday, July 18th. It's another sunny morning where I live. That's all we have is sun here. It looks nice through the windows, but it's quite warm out there. I'd love to have some rain. Well, just thought I'd open up with a little chit-chat there. But I have decided to start off this week by telling you about my visit to Auschwitz. It was 2 years ago that I took a three-week trip to four European countries and managed to visit three former concentration camps, which today are called memorials, two in Germany and Auschwitz in Poland. Now, let's remember that when we talk about these camps today, they're no longer concentration camps. They're indoctrination centers, really, and they are called memorial museums. So people think, like, when people go to Auschwitz, if they are there or they plan a trip or whatever, they say, we're going to go and see Auschwitz, we're going to go to the concentration camp, or they might call it the death camp, and see what it looks like. They're going to a place that's been much changed, and in most cases, except for Auschwitz, the main camp at Auschwitz, there's not much left to see, and what is there has been sort of recreated in many instances to give you the impression that they want to give you. And you're really not seeing what was actually there or how it was. They're always filled with, well, they're memorials, so you see monuments. They all have monuments to memorialize what was there. You know, they are called to memorialize the victims and so on. Now, some of you listening to me might be a little put off by my rather casual attitude and flippant talk and criticisms as I'm telling you about this today. But that's because I have studied it extensively, and not as extensively as some people, but extensively as far as the general population goes, I would say. And so I know that it's like, you know, what's being given to us is not the true story. And so because I have more than an interest in it, I seem to have a personal investment. You know, something in me feels personally offended by what they're doing with this Holocaust so long after the time that it was supposedly took place, that I get quite irritated by it. But I'm going to try to tell you exactly what I experienced so that you will know if you should go there. The best thing that you could be armed with is this little booklet that I wrote. And I'm not saying that because I want to sell the booklet, but it really is the best thing that anyone can take if they're going to make a trip to Auschwitz. Because after my trip 2 years ago, I was also in contact with Paul Angel at the Barnes Review, and he was talking about wanting to create a small book for about Auschwitz, because they create little books every so often in order to use as giveaways, not giveaways, but, you know, when they get people to take subscriptions, they're given something. So I'll continue with that when we get back, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-332-2000. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I was just telling you about relating to my trip to Auschwitz that I'm going to talk about today. Is the book, this little book I wrote, which I called it a giveaway. I shouldn't have called it a giveaway. I couldn't think of another word for it at the moment, but because it sells for $10, and they will take certain books, and they will use them as gifts when you make a new subscription to the Barnes Review, or you subscribe to the American Free Press newspaper, or something like that. And mine has not always been one of the gifts, but right now it is. I just saw that it was. And it was when it first came out, and it is again now. But it's sold very well, and it is. I've had excellent comments about it, and some people who know about books and publishing have said that they thought it was the best book of its type that they've ever seen, of its type. You know, this is not a comprehensive scholarly research book on Auschwitz, but it is a book that will give you a lot of information in a short little, in a very compact way, and easy to read, and lots of pictures. But it's all, I've never had anyone tell me that there was anything wrong in there, or say, boy, your book is not accurate. Now, we decided that I would, he sent me what he had, Paul Angel sent me what he had organized together so far, and I didn't find it quite adequate. So he said, well, you take it over and you do it however you want it. We'll see what you come up with. So I did, and I made it a big project, and eventually it turned into this book. And I slowly brought in my own experience. I didn't start out talking about my own my own experience there, but then I brought some of it into the little book, and then that's why Paul decided to call it the Underground Guided Tour, because I talked about how my tour went. Now I'm going to start out today to say that my question, a really important question about all these camps, is who runs them, and in the camps in Germany, they are, none of those camps in Germany, memorials, let me call it memorial camps that were once concentration camps, or memorial museums, are owned by and or run by the German government, the federal German government. They're all run, they're all under the state auspices, you know, of each individual state that they're in. And they're generally run by private groups previously, they were previous inmates who set up these foundations, and then they took over these areas and they run them, and they get they do get funding from the state governments. And they also, of course, are doing fundraising all the time. But in Poland, it seems as though Auschwitz is owned and operated by the Polish government. Like, that's all I can find on it. It always says the Polish government. And it's very hard to find any information about that. They just don't want to talk about that. So they will say, maybe there's not much to talk about since it is the government. But I find the best information on Wikipedia. And it says that in 1947, Poland founded a museum on the site of Auschwitz 1 and 2, which by 1994 had seen 22 million visitors. Well, I have in my book that today they get over a million visitors a year, and it seems to be growing. So this, they bring in quite a lot of it. Bring that, you know, it doesn't cost anything to get in there, to enter. Although they do have a lot of tour guides there, but I guess I don't know if the tour guides pay some money to the museum from what they earn, probably. But basically, it's a cause for a great deal of tourism in Poland, and so Poland ends up earning a lot of money from this via tourism, and therefore they can afford to pay the bills at Auschwitz. But they say they can't afford it, so they have been seeking money from the international community, which they've gotten, and that's another story I won't go into right now. But what you're going to find, all you're going to find on that long Wikipedia page, which talks about, mostly talks about the camp as it was, as they think it was, at the time, and not as the memorial museum. It says there's a section, creation of the museum, which tells us that the Polish government decided to restore Auschwitz I and turn it into a museum. So, you know, they did restore it. And it says that today the Auschwitz I museum, Auschwitz I is the main camp, with the one with the brick buildings that everyone's familiar with, that we see pictures of, in the Arbeit macht frei sign on the gate. And Auschwitz II is Birkenau, which you see the picture of the entrance to Birkenau often, which is that iconic photograph with the railroad tracks going up to it and into it. And that is about all you generally see of Birkenau or Auschwitz II in photographs that are, you know, that are known to the public, except for maybe the monument that they have back where the destroyed crematoriums are. Now, the Wikipedia says, today, the Auschwitz I museum site combines elements from several periods into a single complex. For example, the gas chamber at Auschwitz I, which had been converted into an air raid shelter, was restored and the fence was moved. So, but then they say, however, in most cases, the departure from the historical truth is minor and is clearly labeled. Well, that is not actually the case. You know, the fact is that the restored so-called gas chamber was never labeled as such until recently. And that is because of the work of the revisionists, who are called Holocaust deniers by Wikipedia, who is very Wikipedia when it comes to the Holocaust. Wikipedia is not as fair-minded or as objective as they might be in some other of their articles, because that this is an area where it just is not allowed, you know, and everybody has to uphold the story. So, the Auschwitz Museum was denying that this so-called gas chamber at Auschwitz I, the only one that remains in place there was actually the crematorium there and a morgue, that this was, they denied that any changes had been made. They said this is the original, absolutely original. But finally, as I said, the revisionists revealed so much about it that they finally had to admit that, yes, the Russians had rebuilt it, had reconverted it, had made quite a few changes in 1947, when nobody knew what was going on there because it was all under Soviet control and behind the Iron Curtain. And they had done a lot of this making changes on those grounds and to what Auschwitz was, and for the purpose of backing up the story that they had put out. So I won't go into that background anymore. That's enough of that. I want to start in telling you about my how I got there. I had gone to Krakow, and I had the intention, absolutely, of going to see Auschwitz. I was very excited about that. And I didn't intend to take a tour, but I met a friend in Krakow, and he had been told by some friends of his, we were going to go there together, and he had been told by friends of his that if you didn't take the tour, you wouldn't see everything. There's no way to get to Birkenau if you're not on a tour. If the tour bus doesn't take you to Birkenau, you have to walk, and it's a long way. And so he was all telling me we had to go on his tour. I didn't really believe all that, but when he said that you had to walk to Birkenau, I wasn't sure. So I thought, well, maybe that wouldn't be good because we'd be worn out. So I finally relented, and he insisted he would pay for both of them because it was expensive. This tour from Krakow was $75 per person. And now this is in Poland where things are supposed to be cheaper, you know, but this is what they got. And you make the arrangements from the hotel. And so we were all arranged, and there in the morning we go off to Krakow. I mean, we get in the bus, the coach, very nice. And, you know, we're going to be driven to the camp and to the museum there and be toured all the way through it and so on. And I was a little worried about it, but I thought, well, I can manage to see what I want to see. Even if we're on this tour, I'll just figure out how to do this. But it turns out, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't need to take a tour to get to Birkenau because there's a little bus. There's several of them, and they go back, and it goes back and forth between every 20 minutes, I think it is, between Auschwitz I and Auschwitz II. And so you just get on that little bus. It's free. It's like a little shuttle bus, and it takes you over there. So this person was giving out false information, and this is not unusual. There's so much false information being passed around. You have to watch out what you believe. So if you go, you just, the best way is to take a bus from wherever you're staying, take a local bus. They all have buses going to the camp because, you know, that's a big tourist attraction. So you just take a local bus for a few, less than a dollar, and a nice ride, nice bus. You go out there, and then when you're finished, when you want to go back to wherever you're staying, you can take a bus back, and you can see the whole camp on your own, especially if you have my book with you. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
I'm Carolyn Yeager, and I'm telling you about my visit to Auschwitz. I want to get right into it now. We get to on the bus to Auschwitz. There's a it takes about maybe around an hour, more or less. Mostly probably a little bit less, but they show you a film, and it's a propaganda film. At first, you think, oh, good, they've got. You know, the guy tells you, well, we're going to watch this film to give you give you some information about it that you'll be prepared with. And but they start showing the film, and there's little TVs set up. There's a big screen up in the front of the bus and little TVs, several of them going on the way back. So you can see very well. And it's that propaganda film that was made by the Soviets. Early after the war, and it is so completely anti-German, and it's not really much about Auschwitz either. It's more showing film and testimonies of survivors about Dachau and Bergen-Belsen, and they show you all those bodies at Bergen-Belsen and so on. And it's just, I don't remember all of it, but I know that I was more and more upset about the film, and I was commenting to the person I was with. I couldn't stop it, you know, saying, well, look at that. That's blah, blah, blah. Because I wasn't aware when it started that it was going to be such a bad propaganda film as it was. And this woman who was sitting in front of us kept turning around every so often. A few times turned around kind of real quick. She couldn't help it. She wanted to see who was saying these things. And I thought, oh, boy, I'm upsetting people probably. But turns out, I'll say more about her later. She turned out to be interested in what I had to say. But so we get there, and there is in the administration building, which you go to first, and it's a beautiful place. You know, it really is. It's a lovely building. They didn't have to do much to it. It always was a nice building, very large, and a big parking area in front, which I don't know what that was then, probably also a big parking area. But they have a little theater there. And in this little theater, you watch the same film. Like if you weren't going, if you didn't get there on a tour bus where they show you the film on the way, you can go in this little theater and watch this film. And free. And this little theater was an original part of the camp, and it was used to show movies for inmates. Now, it's not very big, so it wasn't like everybody got to go in there and see that movie, but it was probably, if you got some special privilege for good behavior or something, you got to go in and watch movies, and they probably had it going on fairly regularly, so different people got a chance to go and see it. But this is it's been admitted that yes, this theater was used during the war for inmates to watch movies in. So, but then you are taken to. So I was a little bit irritated by the whole thing after that horrible film that they showed us, which was really really heavy duty propaganda. And we were then taken inside, and we met our guide. Now, our guide was a noticeably pregnant, youngish Polish woman. Not too young, but youngish. You know, she wasn't old at all, or not even middle-aged. But she was very self-assured, spoke very good English, and she took us right out, and we go out. And, of course, everybody's now excited because we're going to see, we're actually going to see this place. And we go up to the gate and walk through that famous Arbeit macht frei gate. And, you know, everybody's looking around and with their cameras and snapping pictures and so on. It's a nice sunny day. And she takes us directly to the first museum building. This is the one with the big glass cases that we see full of hair. And then there are several floors there. You go on, or areas. And one of them is full of hair. I think that's the first one we saw. And then another one, another big glass case is full of shoes. And another one is full of suitcases. And I think those are the only three that I remember. But I thought, you know, people get suitably somber, you know, when they're looking at this stuff. And the guide is saying some things about it. But I'm finding it very creepy because, you know, this big, I mean big glass case, full of this old, rotten-looking hair of all different shades. And someone who writes about this stuff has said that this, well, it's the fellow at Scrapbook Pages blog. He has written that, and he's made many, many, many trips over there to visit all the different sites. And he says that this hair has been, is deteriorating because it was treated with Zyklon B, with some insecticide and pet, you know, because it was, this is the hair that was taken from the, was shaved off the people. And then it was saved to be used for, you know, everything was recycled and used. There's nothing really wrong with that. But because it might have had lice in it, they had to treat it. So they disinfected it all. And because of that, it had lost some of its, quality. And it was deteriorating, and it was really yucky looking. And the same with the shoes, which looked like just a pile. You know what old shoes look like, that old from people. Who wants to, you know, okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager. I'm taking a little bit too much time here, I think. I'm going to try to get through most of this in the next in this long segment. And I invite anyone to call in at 1-800-313-9443. I will take your call if you have any comments, questions, or anything about what I've said so far. Now, I'll repeat that. That's 1-800-313-9443. So I was talking about the display cases, which are so famous, and you know, and the impression that they made on me, and I really didn't like it. Of course, I've already told you my attitude in the beginning, so you know that I didn't have the proper attitude. You know, I'm a bad person when it comes to this kind of thing, and I don't have the right. Sacred. I don't take it seriously. I don't take it for what they're trying to sell it to me as, what they're trying to tell me it is. I don't believe it. See, so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, this is a public relations thing. Well, it's more than that. This is just to get people to believe. This is to get people convinced that all these shoes, in this case, belong to these poor victims who ended up in gas chambers, or else they were starved to death or beat to death, or else they managed to barely survive or whatever, and they went through this horrible experience. I don't really buy into that in that way. So I know that these people came with shoes, and these shoes that they had were not suitable for living in a camp and doing work and so on. And they were given other shoes, because a lot of these shoes were high heel shoes and, you know, just dress shoes. And women's shoes, and they just, you couldn't walk around. These women, people wouldn't even want to be wearing these shoes when they were in the camp. I mean, it's impossible. So, you know, everything was changed, and they got, of course, we know that they got the striped clothing, and then they got some kind of shoes. And that was the way that went. So I found all this. And then the suitcases, so what? If you came with your suitcase, again, you know, they took all that away from you. They did. And they gave you, like I said, the clothing and the shoes and so on. This is a work camp. This is not, well, I'm not trying to say that this is, that this wasn't going on. You know, these people lost this stuff they came with. And this is why they had these clothing warehouses, and they took all their clothing there and they sorted through it. And what was useful, you know, they cleaned up and they disinfected and they fixed it up. And then they used it. They recycled it. Often it went, a lot of it went back to Germany where people needed all this because the people didn't have enough, for, you know, of any of this stuff. So, and this of course is, and you can see this as not very nice, but it is not what they try to make it out to be. So now after we were in that barracks, we went to the next barracks, which was another part of the museum. The museum is simply, these barracks have been made into, you know, places to exhibit this stuff. And we went to see this one was filled with mostly, the first room we went into was enlarged photos, with text describing what they were, and also documents in glass cases. But you know, your guide picked out like two of the photographs and stood there and talked to you about them, and you didn't have time to look in the glass cases. My friend was trying to read, so he found something interesting in one of them, and he called me over. Well, before we knew it, our tour group was leaving, you know, and we had to hurry up to catch up. And foolishly, I kept up with the group because I wanted to get to Birkenau. And I thought, you know, if I lose the group, I won't be able to get on the bus and go to Birkenau. And I still didn't know about the little shuttle bus because, of course, we didn't have time to find out anything or, you know, discover anything on our own. So we didn't get to see much in these glass cases. They don't, you know, my impression, of course, is that they don't want you to see anything except what they want to show you. But also, they are only going to spend so much time with you. You know, they've got you to pay this money for this tour, and now they're in charge, and you're just going to follow along like a dummy and listen to whatever they have to say and nothing else. So this is why I don't recommend any kind of a tour. You know, you can also get there on your own, and then you can sign up for a tour. They have plenty of guides there, and you can even have a private guide, I guess, although it costs too much. This is why I say, you know, and the best thing I know of to know what to look for is my little booklet. Because, and let me add here, I have to, because you can purchase this booklet at the Barnes Review online. And you can purchase it at Kodo Bookstore. And you can go to my website, carolynyeager.com, and I have instructions on how to purchase it through the Barnes Review or Kodo. And so I'm not saying that very many people listening to me are going to be going, so you're not going to need to buy the book if you don't want it. But this would be the best thing to take and go and look around on your own, because I'm going to tell you now, that after you leave this building with the photographs, and I do need to say something about this photograph that my tour guide talked about, which was a famous photograph of children, very well fed looking, almost some of them are fat, children standing behind a barbed wire fence. They are called children at Auschwitz, and they have these striped jackets on, you know, the tops of the uniforms, but most of them don't have any pants. They have regular clothes on underneath, and they just have these jackets thrown over them. And the guy told us that this photograph was taken about 4 months after liberation, and nobody picked up on that. But then I said, why were they 4 months after liberation? Then why were those kids still there, and why were they still wearing these striped uniforms, which they weren't really wearing? They just had these jackets on. And she said, well, that's a very interesting question. Says, I have not, the fact is, she said that this was taken during the making of a propaganda film. This is a still from the propaganda film. She called it that or maybe she just said film, made by the Soviets much later, and they just brought, they had to reenact a lot of the scenes, and they brought the children, local children in and used them. And I thought, my goodness. And of course, our group, which already thought I was asking too many questions, and making too many comments, but they were quite surprised at that. And I saw everybody was like, you know, whoa, well, you know, because they just take everything that they're shown as being exactly the way it's presented. And a lot of these photographs that they had there blown up were photographs that I recognized as being fake, which are known to be fake. They have to be fake because they're retouched. And one that was there was a very famous one that is of shows. I'm going to have to try to describe it because this is important. It shows a group of, I'll think about three men, two together that look like they're in uniforms, and then another by himself who's not in uniform, standing amongst a bunch of what looks like a jumble of stuff on the ground that's with smoke rising up from it. So it looks like clothing, but it's been retouched to look like bodies. So you have these kind of spaghetti bodies if you look closely, but they can't, they're not human. I mean, they can't in any way. If you look at it, if you have an enlargement of it, look at it closely, you see very clearly that this is not really people, but it's presented as people being burned in some kind of, they're not even in a pit. They're just laying on the ground. It's all on the ground being burned at Auschwitz. And these are SS men standing around there or something. It's just the most blatant baloney. But they even had it there in the Auschwitz Museum, which did surprise me. And they had other stuff like that. So I have a caller. I promised to take the callers. Oh, it's Steve from Chicago. Steve, it better be something good. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, Carolyn. How you doing?
I'm in the midst of trying to describe all this. So what is it that you wanted to ask?
Well, you were talking about Holocaust, were you?
If you don't know what we're talking about, Steve, then I don't know.
Okay. No, there was an article in yesterday's Spiegel, Der Spiegel, and it was justified the cost of paying for U-boats. It says Germany subsidizes submarines for Israel based on the Nazi.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I'm going to let you, we can talk about that later in the week because I'm going to have a lot of open time. But right now I want to continue with this because this selling submarines doesn't have anything to do with it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I know it might seem like it, but Steve, I know you'll accept that. Okay, now I've got Tom from Brooklyn. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, dear. I'm having a wonderful time listening to your history, and I've got something quite important to tell the listening audience. Face-to-face confrontations with somebody like your father or somebody who has had life experiences through these type of issues are really, really interesting. He was a Navy diver during the Second World War. And
okay, Tom, I'm gonna have to hold this to the Auschwitz camp.
This is quite relevant, okay?
Well,
New Jersey, they erected a mock propaganda site where the horrors of the Holocaust were being filmed, all right? Guess where that propaganda film ended up? In the Holocaust Museum. My father was there. Okay?
Very interesting. You're right. That is very
interesting. That is quite relevant.
Yes.
Okay? Now, another situation is David Irving said that a lot of the photographs that you see are photographs of paintings.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Interesting stuff.
Yes.
That's all I had to
yeah.
add.
Well, Tom, tell us a little bit more. Are you still there?
Yeah.
About this this Holocaust thing that your father watched. They were filming. Can you have a few more details on that?
Yeah, well, you know, during the course of his training as a diver, and later to become underwater demolition guy, he was in Bayonne, New Jersey, and they were watching them film the Holocaust, you know, like concentration camps, and they had all of these people.
And what year was this? And who was filming this?
Well, I believe it or not, it was the Defense Department. You remember? I don't know how old you are, but on Saturdays, you used to get reel-to-reel news in the movies before there was television.
Yes, yes.
And that was shown everywhere to show the horrors of the Holocaust and this, that, and the other thing. And it never even happened in Germany or Poland. It was filmed in Bayonne, New Jersey.
So they were filming, you think, that they were filming stuff for these U.S. newsreels.
Mm-hmm.
Right here in the United States. Well, we know that they were making films in Canada about the supposedly what was going on the Eastern Front, you know, in the snowy steppes and so on. They were filming atrocity stuff in Canada and using it as propaganda during the war. This was the English doing this. This is just another aspect. I have never heard of this.
The guilt industry, okay,
yeah,
was actually
yeah.
formulated
yes.
from the time that they had an actual occurrence. Now, the relabeling of the barn continually goes on. It was a work labor camp. If you understand the use of the Zyklon B, it basically was to de-louse the clothing. And the gas chambers were never erected until after the camp was closed.
Yeah. Well, I'll go on and continue with that part. I can talk about that part. Thank you very much for your call, Tom. I appreciate it very much. You know, I don't mean to be rude, ladies and gentlemen, but sometimes I can tell that if a call is going to go off onto something that isn't, real relevant to what I'm trying to get through in this particular program. But I hope we can talk about what Steve wants to talk about the submarines and so on, because that's a shameful story too. But and it might have more to do with this than I realized. But anyway, I'm going to get right back to walking the next we were in this museum building where we were looking at the photographs and the documents and so on. Then we leave there, and then we go to we're taken directly to Block 11, where they show. They always show that. That's what's called the punishment block or the camp prison. And a whole lot is made out of that. They take you in there, and it's packed with other tour groups in there because every tour group goes there. And you're walking through this long corridor where there are cells on either side. And a lot of them have been – they're empty, of course, and – who knows what they were like then, but now they make them look really kind of very bare. Some have a bed, some don't. And some will have a sign or a plaque that says this was where so-and-so stayed. You know, some person who's well-known as a victim, like a religious leader or something. And a lot of the cells have these little, right inside on the floor, they'll have a few candles or a vase of flowers, probably artificial flowers, but maybe somebody even brings in some fresh flowers once in a while. I don't know. And maybe a picture in a frame of who this person was who stayed there. And stuff like that, to, you know, all this heart-wrenching stuff. And yet, you know, there is a basement in the prison block, but they don't, our leader didn't take us down there. We didn't get to go down the basement. That's where this so-called standing cell is supposed to be. I would have liked to have studied that. But, you know, here I am crowded around going through this. And then they take you outside there. And then we go right into this empty space right next to this punishment block. And this is called the Black Wall or the Death Wall or the Killing Wall or whatever they want to call it. And that's covered with flowers and you know, that have been left there and candles and so on. And supposedly this was where they took prisoners that they were going to execute, and they put them up in front of this black wall, which was kind of a freestanding wall at the end of this empty space between two barracks. And they shot them. And so they're telling you all about this. And the whole time, the guard, I mean, our guard, she was our guard, our tour guide was always saying that how the prisoners never got any food and they were killed by starvation. She was really emphasizing that. I think that is being emphasized now, that so many prisoners died of starvation, because they can't really justify the whole gas chamber story the way they used to be able to do. You know, they used to get that across to people, but they're losing ground there. So I got tired of hearing that. And then, because she never showed us the kitchen. You know, we walked right by the kitchen on the way in, and we were, oh boy, and we were never able to see it. And it's huge. And there's a lot to say about the kitchen, but you're never told anything about it. So we'll be right back to finish this up, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
All right, we're back for our last little segment, and I'm going to try to finish up Auschwitz One here. So when we left the cell block, we were not shown the theater, which I talk about in my book. We were not shown the swimming pool, which I had to go and find later on my own. And several other things I looked at on my own later after the tour ended. We were taken from there. We start walking back toward the gate, and we pass these buildings that she doesn't say a word about, but they have signs out in front, and they says that they're infirmaries. But on these signs, it tells you that they put the word infirmary in quote marks, and then the sign tells you that the doctors put people in the infirmary, but then they selected them for going to the gas chamber if they were too weak, or if they selected them for other things. It really was not a proper infirmary, which is absolutely untrue. There were three infirmaries there in that camp, which was not a very big camp, and they were used, and people were constantly being brought back into good health, and or they if they had an injury or whatever. And there was also a big hospital outside the gate, because now we go outside the gate and we're going to the gas chamber. That's the last thing. This is all our tour consists of. Now we're heading for the gas chamber, and right across the street from the gas chamber is the big SS hospital, which they insist was used only for the SS, but in fact, it also accommodated inmates who were in more serious problems than the infirmary buildings could handle, and they also had a gynecology department section there, and babies were born there of inmates. They're certainly that's a known fact, but you know, you don't learn anything about that, and you're taken directly into the you don't really see the gas chamber the way they do it. I don't know how, but you're walking along, and then you're going down into some lower entrance, and you're walking into the gas chamber. You never get a look at what it actually looks like from the outside, and so you go in there and you're taken right in to a room with cremation ovens. No big deal about that, but you know, that's and it's roped off, so you can't go up and touch them and look at them like you can in the camps I was in Germany. No, now you used to be able to, but now you can't. And you just walk past, and she gives you some spiel about that. And then she tells you, now we're going into the gas chamber, going to see the gas chamber. And she says, now you must all be silent, out of respect, no talking, and so we're walked through, and there's a lot of other, there are people behind us, you know, our group. You have to keep moving because there's people, you know, wanting to move right behind you. And so we come to the gas chamber, the famous gas chamber, which is a big cellar room. And instead of the lights being on, it's all dark inside. And there's a rope there, you know, at the, it's wide open, but there's a rope. You can't go past it. And the inside, again, there's some flowers and stuff on the floor. And she doesn't talk. You don't talk. Everybody is silent and, you know, respectful. You're looking, and then you're being pushed along. And next thing, you're led through a door outside. You don't see a thing. You can't examine anything. Now, I mentioned that to Dr. Robert Forsong when he was on one of my programs, and he said, oh, that's not right. Yes, you can go in there. But it wasn't that way when I was there in 2009. And it may be that if you ask or demand or want special permission to do it, you can still do it. But I really don't know about that. But that was my experience, and I was very disappointed. And two of the people who are in our group, a man and a woman, walked up to me afterwards, and they said, you know, I really agree with everything you're saying, and I'm very disappointed that I spent all this money and I didn't see anything. And all they do is show you what they want to show you, and it's all wasted. Now we got on the bus, and we were taken to Birkenau, and I will have to spend little time tomorrow describing what I saw at Birkenau and how my experience went there. So come back tomorrow for that, and then we'll go into something else and take more callers also. Bye for now.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and